Hey everybody, welcome to the third episode of the newly reformatted Easy Tarot Lessons podcast. I'm your host, Dusty White. On the phone with me today is one of my private clients and students, Lori Denise. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, hello.
Great, there you are. So we were in the middle of a lesson. Today we're covering spreads. As a matter of fact, this entire week, we're covering spreads. I would like you to go to Advanced Tarot Secrets blog, which can be you can find everything at easytarotlessons.com. On the left, there's a link that says blog. It'll take you right to it. Go back a few posts because I made one or two since then. Look at how to read the Celtic Cross spread. I want you to read it all upside down because we're talking about card positions. And this is really advanced stuff, but it's so easy to learn. And once you know it, it'll make your readings so much more in depth. And we were just talking about this. Also, there's a two-part lesson on spreads at easytarotlessons.com. And of course, we're going to be talking about spreads on the podcast. So it's all, you know, it's really spread week. If you haven't already signed up for a free tarot lessons course, please do so, because rather than having to run everywhere and try to find this and try to find that, we send you a compact little newsletter. There's no advertising. There's no gimmicks. It's just, here's this, here's this, here's this. And you can find everything in one place. There's nothing to memorize. And you listen to it at your convenience, or you read it at your convenience, depending on whether it's an article or whatever. And I am always available by phone. If you have any questions and you need one-on-one help, you pick up the phone and you call me. I can help you learn the tarot extremely fast. Everything's free here. The book is $22. 1 week of intensive one-on-one training with me is $25. That's you and me. That's not you and me and 100 other people in the same room. All of this can be found at easytarotlessons.com. Make sure you sign up for the tarot course. It's 100% free, and it's at the top of every page. If you've already signed up, congratulations. Thank you very much. You'll be getting the newest newsletter probably in a day or two. Now, what we were talking about here, Lori Denise, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're talking about you're in the middle of a spread, and a card comes up, and it's very pernicious. It just won't give you answers. You were using an example of the Queen of Swords comes up, and whether it meant your client was giving advice or this was advice that she was going to be getting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very confusing.
No, this is good. Well, we talked about the first line of defense, which is clarification cards. And if anybody at home has any questions, go to the easytarotlessons.com site. And, actually, it's not there. It's in the book. The easiest way to learn the tarot ever. It's $22 on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of your favorite metaphysical stores. If your local metaphysical store does not carry the easiest way to learn the tarot ever, you give them my phone number. You tell them to call me. I will give them one free copy to look at. And they'll probably end up selling it to you. But, or they might just keep it themselves. But I support local metaphysical stores. I only say Amazon. Because if your local store doesn't carry it and doesn't want to carry it, okay, that's fine. I'm not here to pressure anybody. But clarification cards, you can look at that. But let's get into this because I don't want this to be some kind of sales pitch. If you're playing along at home, pause the recording. Deal out a Celtic Cross. We're using my version of the Celtic Cross. If you don't have my book, but you do have a book called Power Tarot or another book that has my version of the Celtic Cross, what we're doing is cards 1 and 2 are this always the same. 3, 4, 5, and 6 go clockwise, starting at 6, then 9, then 12, then 3, because it flows. Think of it as a spiral. Don't cross and jumble cards. And then we have 7, 8, 9, 10 go straight up. Again, if you need a diagram, just look at the book. So what we've got here, if you're at home, throw a Celtic Cross out. Put the Queen of Swords in card position 6. Lori Denise, you have that all set up, right?
Yes, all set.
Okay, so this is the card that we're looking at. This is the card that's giving us trouble. The rest of your deck, just set it off to the side, but not too far away. Let's get right into this. If you are really, really new to the tarot, Ooh, take some of the free lessons. This might be a little bit more advanced. Yes, this is episode 3 of the podcast, but the podcast really goes into a lot of things that I couldn't cover in the book. And it's really expanded lessons for my students. But it's totally free. Anybody can, you know, anybody can listen. And if you don't want to buy my books, that's just fine too. You can still listen to the podcast and learn. And write me hate mail if you think I'm wrong. What is it? SantaClaus@NorthPole.com. Now, getting to this, though, going from card positions 4, 1, and 6, I want to point out how card positions relate to each other. So we're trying to figure out the Queen of Swords. We've already gone the clarification card route, but that's your first line of defense, meaning I also want it to be your last thing that you do before you start getting squirrely. Card position 4 it represents the recent past, right?
Yes.
Card position 1, the first one going down, kind of like what's going on right now. So if you look at it, we have a past, present, and future built into the spread. If we're trying to figure out this Queen of Swords, before you start pulling other cards, let's take a look and see what the immediate past or the recent past, or again, if you just want to go dogmatic, you can say, yeah, it's the recent past. You can also extend that and say it's the distant past. But what really matters is, what it comes down to is, this is the past in that it matters to the spread. Because the Queen of Swords is in card position 6, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at cards 4, 1, and 6, because we're going to go past, present, and future. If that doesn't help us, we're going to go 4, 5, and 6. 5 is what crowns you, what could come into being. It's card position 5 is what could come into being. It's the prevailing winds. It's the theme of the day. It's, you know, if you keep going in this direction, this is what you're going to encounter. But card position 6 is, this is absolutely going to be something you have to, this is a gate that you have to cross. If card position 10 is the final outcome, you can't get there until you go through card position 6, which is the Queen of Swords right now.
Yes.
Now, card position 5 may happen, may not, but it is very important. Also, card position 6, since this is going to be happening, let's look at 7 and 9. Let's look at what the client is afraid of or doesn't want. Again, 7 isn't just what you're afraid of. It's what you don't want. It's what you're pushing against. Maybe self-doubt. Maybe, you know, if you're really in the dumps, it's going to show up here. In my particular spread, which, again, this doesn't matter because it's completely random, I've got the Magician here, and I'm going to turn it back over because I'm not supposed to look at it. But if that were the case, this person would be very self-doubtful, or they're afraid of standing up and taking charge, because the Magician is really alpha male. It's getting out there and making things happening, not just being – there's a Queen of Swords, kind of a bossy woman. She's intelligent. She's no shrinking violet, but now that Magician is just, you know, I am the law. So we would compare, you know, and in this particular case, I'm very fortunate that it is the Magician. If the Queen of Swords was 6, if she needs to take charge, she's afraid of taking charge. So because right now we're trying to figure out, does this Queen of Swords mean it's something she's getting or something she's giving? Well, here, in this particular case, by pure serendipity, this Magician in card position 7, where, you know, things she's afraid of, things she's putting off, well, this would tell me, if I were reading it for you, I would say, well, hey, this is something you have to do. I would start to assume that this is something you have to do, not something you're going to get. Because I've got an indication that you're not doing it, and the cards are saying that you should do it. So do you see how those two cards can play together?
Yes, that clarifies what she's doing.
Right, that's one way. So I'm going to turn that back over. The card position 7 is now a mystery card. We're just looking at the card back. And now I'm going to look at card position 9. And I'm telling you, what we were talking about this earlier before we started the podcast, about the more you're in the zone. Just, yeah, generally, the more in tune you are throughout life, or the more, a little disclaimer here, so I don't end up talking in vagaries. I think that's a word. If it's not, I just made it up. Go see a local astrologer. This is a message for everybody. Go see a competent local astrologer, or come to me. But you don't have to come to me. get somebody like me or a local astrologer who can sit down and tell you who you are. So many people are walking around and I think they know who they are, but really it's a combination of what everybody else wants them to be with kind of what they want to do in life. And they end up not really knowing exactly who they are. And so they kind of fumble and stumble and bumble. I mean, I did this and a lot of people do this. And I see my friends doing this. It drives me crazy. But the more in tune you with who you are, and again, it's all there in your astrological DNA. You don't have to know astrology. All you need is somebody who does to go blah, blah, blah. And you go, wow, this really rings true to me. That tells you what you need to find in life, where to go. All right, please do that. Now, having done that myself, I like to think that I'm very in tune. And the more in tune that you are, the more the tarot throws little goodies out at you. Remember how I just said it was serendipitous that I got the magician here? Guess what's in card number position 9 is the 7 of Cups. Again, I'm not supposed to be flipping over these cards because these cards were just totally dealt out at random. They weren't supposed to be anything but placeholders. But if something works, you use it. Now, the Queen of Swords is all about decisiveness, right?
Yes.
And decisions?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And we can say that even if we don't say she's an air sign. But if we want to ascribe the element of air to the swords, then we can definitely say it's all about it because then it puts in the cerebral realm. Lori Denise, you tell me what the 7 of Cups means to you. You're looking at it. What does it scream out?
I'm getting it out right now, actually.
All right.
Mine did not fall quite in that way.
No, take your time.
But, you know, this is perfect how, you know, it is really weird how today we're doing this, the Celtic Cross, and this was exactly what my question, you know, was pertaining to. So it's really worked out perfect. Okay, 7 of Cups to me is a lot of choices, a lot of different emotions.
Now, which deck are you using right now?
I am the Rider Waite.
Okay. Just want to make sure I recommend generally staying with one of the weight decks or one of the decks that's close to the weight when we're talking about lessons because of the universality of it. We can use any variety of decks, but because we have to talk to so many people when we're doing a podcast or general lessons, as in, you know, when you're writing a book, I like everybody to be on the same page. So the Rider Records. So what we have here, because I'm using the Rider Waite, we have a silhouette of a guy looking there, and he's got all these choices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this is what I go back to, is the serendipitousness of it all. I hope that's a word. Queen of Swords, decisions, card position 9, 7 of Cups, decisions or indecision. So, again, all we're trying to do right now is figure out what we're doing with this Queen of Swords is we're just trying to figure out what she means. Is she advice you're going to get? Or advice you're going to give, or I mean, what does it mean? And if we go back over here, the Magician and the 7 of Cups, I mean, the 7 of Cups are saying, because it's in card position 9, what do you want? What are you looking for? Well, she doesn't know what she wants. I don't know, maybe she has too many choices. Maybe she doesn't like to decide. Some people don't like to decide. So here we have in the 7, we have that she's afraid of making a commitment, of taking charge, of limiting herself. Now, when we take charge, we do limit ourselves. We cut away all the distractions. Everything we might have been, could have been, that all goes away. We have one choice. That's the whole point of focusing. So it can be very scary because you say, well, what if I wanted something else? No. So her negative side is afraid of making decisions, and her positive side is afraid of making decisions.
Yeah.
Even before we pull out even before we open up the Queen of Cards, the process is opening up a card that's in the easiest way to learn the tarot ever. If you have any questions, look at that. Or clarification cards, which you've already covered. Even before we do that, we're already starting to get clues from the other cards, because the other cards, while they have their own meaning, can also be supportive or pointing to something else in a deck. This happens all the time in a good spread. And again, Which spread is best? Oh, I answered that. I'd like everybody to read the blog post, and it's free. There's nothing to buy. But I really talk about which spread is best. It's all, here's a nutshell. It all depends on the moment. It all depends on the question, and it all depends on what you had for breakfast today. Because everything comes down to the now with the tarot. So now, Lori Denise, your question, does this kind of answer, are we starting to see how this is, does this help you?
Oh, absolutely. It was what, suddenly I've just now got the aha moment.
Okay, so
yeah,
I'm going to take the 10, and I promise not to look at it this time. I'm going to take the 10 of card position 10. That's the final outcome card.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to switch it with the Queen of Swords. So the Queen of Swords is now in the last spot. And we have a upside down card or face down card in card position 10. So we're looking at all the card backs except for the Queen of Cards, who's the Queen of Swords, who's final outcome. Now, this is a huge problem for most people when they read, oh, look, it's the final outcome.
Yeah.
And it's human nature. I used to do that all the time. It's like, forget the rest of the spread. What's the final outcome? The final outcome will be shaped. We're going to keep these other cards here. This indecision, I'm just because I'm going to flip this card back over the Magician and the Seven of Cups. Because if the Queen of Swords was in the final outcome, now it changes meanings. See, in card position six, she had to make a decision before the final outcome happened. We don't
yes.
get to know what's going to happen until you make that decision, until you start taking charge, until you say, that's it, I've had enough. Or you're going to be dispensing advice. You know, where this thing has to happen. Now, here, the final outcome is she does decide to take charge of her life. So we don't know because, again, card positions 4, 5, and 6 are upside down. I mean, are flipped over. We're looking at the card backs. Every time I say upside down, I think reversed, and I don't want people to think reversed. So I got to get better terminology. But because we're looking at all the card backs, we don't know what happens except for this. Now, with the Magician being in the negative spot, and it's upright, you know, so how can a positive card be bad? Well, she is, the card position says, if we flip the card position over, flip the Magician over, you know, we're just looking at the card position. We're saying, well, whatever this card is, this is what you're afraid of, or this is what you're putting off, or this is what you don't want to do. And we flip it over. It's like, no, you don't want to take charge. You know, if it were upside down, I mean, if it were reversed, we'd say, you don't want to give up. You don't want to surrender. You're, you know, kind of a control freak, but she's not. So we're going to flip that back over. Now we're not looking at that. And we're going to look at the same thing, card position 9. Seven of Cups is still there. This says that her hopes and dreams, she is confused now, but she will end up making a decision. Just knowing that much tells us a lot about her. If she's indecisive now or indecisive or can't make a choice or she has a whole bunch of choices, let's say she wants her options open because this in card position 9, it could say, well, I want to have choices. It says she's going to pick one. Now, this adds depth to the final outcome because by knowing, and this only works with cards that relate to each other, because sometimes you'll read a spread and the cards just don't get along. Now, if you verify each card individually and you find out that, yes, everything in the card, everything in the spread applies to your reader, I mean, to your querent or client, then if the cards don't get along, it shows that your client is conflicted, that they're in chaos, that they want to do this and they want to do this, or they want to do this, but instead they're doing something else. You know, I always wanted to be a lumberjack from Monty Python, just saying, I didn't get to do what I want to do. Remember, every time you read for someone, they're not always going to be perfectly aligned and they're ready and they're flowing. They're coming to you basically because they got problems. In this case, where we can see one card that works nicely with, you know, the other card, we can compare and contrast. And this goes back to the exercises in The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever. This is why I have you guys do all these exercises, wax on, wax off. Because when you're right here in the moment, it all comes to pass. All we're doing right now is we're doing a from here to there, or we're doing a this happens to me, this happens to you. We're comparing and we're contrasting. So does that help you a little bit more, Lori Denise?
No, absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to leave. We're going to flip this back over. So all the cards are upside down or, you know, covered except for the Queen of Swords. Matter of fact, we're going to do that too because I just want to talk card positions. This will seem a little archaic or confusing if you aren't familiar with the Celtic cross, which most popular spread in the world, so I hope everybody is. But we're just looking at 10 cards laid out. In card positions 4, 1, and 6, we have past, present, and future. In cards positions 4, 5, and 6, we have this has already happened. This could happen. This is very important. And then we have card position 6, this is going to happen next. Now, let's add card position 10 to that. We're taking all the subjective things out. We're taking out hopes and dreams. We're taking out fears. We're taking out what other people think. And we're looking at 4, 5, 6, and 10, or 4, 1, 6, and 10. So we're going past, present, future, this is going to happen, or this has happened, this is where you're going, this is what is most likely going to come out of this. This is, has to be addressed to next, and then this is the final outcome. Either one of those two paths lead in a direct line from this to this to this to this. This is, I think, exercise 8. This happens and this happens and this happens. This is why I want you to be able to tell a story with the cards. Now, it's just one spread. We have not picked up the spread. We have not cast another spread. But we are milking this spread for all the information we can get because it's right in front of us. That's the whole point of reading cards. We can read each card individually, and you should do that first. Just to kind of, even if it's just a little quickie 30-second thing, get everything in place, lock it down. But as we're looking at 4, 5, 6, and 10, or 4, 1, 6, and 10, as we're looking at 4, 5, 6, and 10, 4, 1, 6, and 10, and again, these are two different ways of going from past to future. We are looking for congruency. Tony Robbins taught me that line, and I didn't like it at first, but the more I like it, the more I listen to it, the more I like it. We're looking for things that are working in simpatico. That's not correctly phrased. I'm just trying to give people different ways of hearing this so that they can get it to stick in their head. Do you see that pattern, 4, 5, 6, and 10, or 4, 1, 6, and 10, Laurie Denise?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so this will help clarify any one of those particular cards, because if we see a convoluted jumble, then we know we've got a lot of start, stop. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, I want to do that. That's not how you win. That's not how you get ahead in life. That's not how you achieve your goals. We want smooth, continual progress. And so ideally, that's where we would like to see it. And this way, we can identify problems because we have a goal here. Even if they reach their goal or if they don't reach their goal, we can see why. And we can see various points along the path where they can change their destiny. Because when people read the tarot, a lot of times it's very fatalistic. Oh, it's in the cards. It's set in stone. Same thing with astrology. Oh, you're a Sagittarius. You're a damn hippie flake. Well, yeah, but that's beside the point. You don't have to be or do anything. You have free will. You have every opportunity in front of you. That doesn't mean that every opportunity is equal or going to be easy. I could fly to the moon. Now, how would I do it? I have to make friends with Richard Branson at this point or raise a lot of money, and incredible amounts of money, and somehow get on one of those Soviet rockets. It is a possibility. It's just so incredibly hard that I probably won't be doing that. I'll choose something a little easier. And that's how the tarot works. The tarot is often the path of least resistance, and we need to identify and show people where they need to actually put forth the effort. Other cards. Cards 7 and 9, what you fear, what you want, or what you're pushing away. We have negative motivation. That's what we're pushing away from. And we have positive motivation, which is what we're attracting. This is also in Aphrodite's Book of Secrets. Not to plug that, but to say, you know, this principle is called psychic magnetism. Law of attraction, card position 9. Law of repulsion, card position 7. Because magnets attract and they repulse. This whole law of attraction thing is crap. It's actually the law of attraction and repulsion. It's one law with two two elements. You can't just say it's, you can't have left without right. If you dissect something and say this is a left, there has to be a right. There can't be an up unless you make a down. Same thing. Psychically, we attract things, yes, and we push things away. Now, it's more than happy thoughts, but that's the most basic of it. The principle is called psychic magnetism, and we have that in card positions 7 and 9. I'm running off at the mouth again. Are we set on this, Lori? Lori Denise?
Yes.
Okay.
Very good.
Any questions that have popped up while I've been rambling?
No, actually not. I'm just flowing with it.
Excellent. Now, here's another thing. Card position 8. What other people think, what circumstances are around you, what the people who matter to the situation and the spread, their input, right?
Yes. Now, why is that important? Why would you say that's important to know?
Because we're going to compare it to card number 2, what crosses you.
Ah, okay.
Card number 2 is generally internal or very personal. If it's external, it could be a circumstance, it could be your opinion, but again, it varies from spread to spread, and it goes right back to the question you were asking, and we'll go into that. But cards 2 and 8 are polar opposites a lot of the time. That doesn't mean they don't get along, but you have internal versus external. Peer pressure, things coming around you. Let's say you're going on a picnic. Card position 8 tells you if it's raining or if it's sunny. Card position 2 says you have a picnic basket. You have food or you need to go to the store. Card position 2 is not necessarily things under your control, but it's affecting you more immediately, more directly. Card position 8 is very powerful. There's nothing like peer pressure. There's nothing like your parents saying, "I want you to be a doctor. I want you to be a doctor," or you can't do this. You're not smart enough. I mean, whether it's positive or negative reinforcement, having people around you constantly, shoving a message at you, is powerful stuff. But it is external. It's something that has to seep into you. Where a card position 2 is right up in your face. It could be coming from inside you. It could be something from the past that was external that is now, it's more the hungry lion that is chomping on your leg versus the horde of elephants that's about to run you over, but is 50 feet away.
That makes sense. That really cleared it up. And they work, that's the good thing. The way you've explained it works really well.
Thank you. Well, a good spread, and you can create your own spread, but if you're going to create your own spread, anyone and everyone, take the time to practice it, think it through, test it out, make sure things like this work. Card positions 3 and 6, the foundation, the why. Why did this happen? What's your client not telling you? This is also called a deep past sometimes, but really is the foundation. It usually, if you want to know what your client isn't telling you, here it is. I say client a lot because I'm a professional reader. Normally, people pay me for readings. Client to me means querent. It all comes down to who's asking the question. If they pay, they're a client. If they don't, they're querent. Get it back and forth. I don't want people to get upset over the concept of being paid or not. So the terms are interchangeable. Don't get focused on the Maya, on the distractions. So card position 3, the baseline card, will show you what they're not telling you. Card position 6 is a very public card. This stuff will come out. So a lot of times we have 3 versus... Wait, did I say 6? I'm sorry, I meant 3 versus 5. Because I'm talking about the crowning card. 3 is very private. 5 is very public. Because we're looking at the bottom card and the top card. Right? So we can go 4 versus 6, 3 versus 5. And this really works if you're looking at a Celtic cross spread. If you're just listening to numbers, it's like... What do these numbers mean? So we go top to bottom, left to right, the cards 7, 8, 9, 10 just go up in a line. This is a very well-designed spread, and this is the reason why it's so popular. It's a real workhorse. On the very surface, all we do, read the cards one at a time, and we come to an outcome. But now that we can see how cards relate to each other by position, we can see, do we see a pattern? Do we see a pattern of, let's take cards 3, the foundation, and card position 7, what you're afraid of, what you're hesitating on. These two work together if we want to see the deep secrets of a client or a situation. Because remember, you can be reading for a situation just as easily as you could for a person. So if you want to say what's the unseen, you would go 3 and 7, because these positions work together. And all we're doing is we're breaking down the spread into various patterns or various sub-contexts or patterns that we'll see. So let's get into clarification cards. I told you it's in the book, but let's do a little bonus here. I've got a question for you. Since I'm doing all the talking, would you pull out a card out of the middle of the deck and throw it down on top of any one of the cards in front of you and tell me what the card is and what card position it lands on?
Okay, I have 3 of Cups in position 7.
Okay, so here we have the 3 of Cups in card position 7. Now, that seems like a contradiction of terms, because the 3 of Cups is happy, it's celebratory, it's friends, it's good times. Pretty happy card, right?
Yes. These are the kind of spreads I get.
Now, at this point, we've already talked about looking at the spread itself. You know, we've gone over that in great depth, and we've just run it into the ground. So we're not going to cover that anymore. We're going to say you're at a point where you've looked at the entire spread. You think your client is being very clear. They're telling the truth, because sometimes you get clients that lie. Sometimes you'll get querents that don't really want to give you any information, or you're reading into a distant past. And this is advanced stuff, but let's say you are reading into the distant past and you're trying to figure out something that happened a long time ago, you know, 2,000-3,000 years ago. So it's murky. The waters are murky and you can't quite figure it out. Now, this is where we go with the clarification cards. We're not going to tear up the spread. We're going to leave the spread tear down the spread. We're not going to tear down the spread. We're just going to open up a particular card. So I am shuffling the rest of the cards, whatever I didn't use in the deck. And I'm going to draw 3 cards to open up or clarify. John and Jane Doe eyes. Oh no, that music means the podcast broke. So, sorry everybody. Guess what? We're back on the phone. This is a completely different day, if you couldn't tell. We were talking about clarification cards. So, this is covered in The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever. If you have the book, you know what? Here's a little bonus. If you don't have the book, listen closely, because we're just going to go over this real quickly. Are you having any problems with clarification cards, Laurie Denise?
Well, somewhat. A little bit. Okay, depending on what I get, which ones I get. Like, okay, say you have, one problem that I come across, I was playing around with the Queen of Swords again, and clarification card was death. So that one kind of threw me a little bit, as far as, because it was so far off track. You know what I mean?
Death is a huge life change or a breakthrough. I mean, it could be death. After all, death is a part of life. But again, this is something very totally off topic, but something I've been wanting to cover. There are only 78 cards in the deck. So if you pull death or the tower, chances are you're not going to die. I mean, it's not like we go through life having a 1 in 78 chance of falling over dead. And it's not like your house is going to explode. So these cards, more than metaphorical meanings, they actually have to have several meanings. 78 cards have to explain every conceivable event in life. Otherwise, the tarot would be no good if it couldn't explain different things that happened. So when death comes up, major life change, a rebirth, a breakthrough, or, you know, something could be tragedy. I mean, it could be death in the family. And so now the problem is you have to open up the clarification card. So if you get a clarification card is you're in the middle of a spread and the spread looks good. You're in the zone, everything's working, but there's one card you just can't make sense of. Or like we were talking about earlier, how you're trying to look this way and that way and anchor, compare and contrast cards, but it's just not working for you. A clarification card is one card that you draw specifically and purposefully for that card. Don't draw it off the top of the deck. That's asking the gods to do far too much. That's you not even trying. Dig through the deck. Let the deck hand you the right card. Now, the physical process is, yes, you're drawing a card, but the actual energy is you're just going through the deck and waiting for the right card to, you know, put itself in your hand, so to speak. A little bit of practice, or you read the book, or you get a professional teacher. Any of these things will help you get it, and it's a lot easier than it is to explain. Now, you did this, and the card that came up was death. Now, you have to either cast a whole spread on death, which is a little overkill, although it has been said if you get a major arcana, you know, stop and do that. What I would do is I do the three-card spread. So you open that up, and I like three equal cards to explain one card, or you could take one primary card with two supportive cards. All this is explained, and you can always ask me or your teacher. But I like three equal cards to describe one card. So I would go through and I'd pull out three cards, again, using your randomization, let the deck hand you the right cards. And that will help explain death so you can understand. So this is what I would want you to do if you have a card, or worse, if you draw a clarification card that just gets you farther on down the road of, I don't know what's going on. Now, if you try to explain your clarification card and that doesn't work, pick up your clarification card, pick up the cards that explain that, shuffle those back in the deck, forget everything, start over again, draw a new clarification card for it. It is not impossible that you just weren't thinking about it well enough, you weren't attuned, you just kind of drew a card off the top of the deck, or a card flipped out of the deck and you thought, oh, this is the one. Just because a card is in your hand doesn't mean it's the right card. So does that help any?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I do want to do a few quick announcements and then we'll wrap this up. There are two article lessons this week. This is spread week again. So make sure you go see the two article lessons. They're on easytarotlessons.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see the links. There are three blog posts, one on the Joker, which is very important, one little disclaimer, and one a very important lesson on spreads, which I want everybody to take, and it's free, and it's stuff you will not learn anywhere else. I promise you that. And that one lesson that's on the blog post works in with what we were talking about in the podcast, but it will be the most important lesson you ever learn in the tarot. It's really powerful stuff. And I'm not saying that because I wrote it. I'm saying it because it's true. That's pretty much it, except for homework. So I have some very extra special Christmas homework for everyone. And this includes you, Laurie Denise.
Okay, great.
We're all going to make Christmas tarot cards. Now, it's not like nobody's ever made a tarot greeting card before. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick at least one person. Three would be best. But pick at least one person that you actually like. You know, I don't want you to go making up death or the tower or the devil and giving that out to your boss and going, ha, happy Christmas, you bastard. There's some caveats here. We got rules around here. Number one, you have to either print off on your computer, go to Staples and print it or any place, or just draw it out. But I want you to take a regular 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, or you can get fancy and use cardstock or whatever. And on the front, or on one half of it, you're going to print, draw, color, crayon, whatever, a specific tarot card. Now, I want this card to match the person you're giving it to. If you're giving it to your mom, you could give her the Empress and say, you know, then the inside, the caption part, has to match the card, but it also has to match the message that you're sending. You can't just put on the Four of Coins and say, Happy Christmas, Mom, because that's got nothing to do with the Four of Coins. If you use the Empress, you can say, Best Mom Ever, because the Empress is a very mother figure. Well, it's Demeter. You're with me on this, right?
Yes. Sounds great.
Great. So, very super important. The picture has to match the caption. Both of them have to match the feeling or sentiment of the person you give it to. Try to do this to three people. Now, here's a little extra special homework only for people who have evil, horrible, nasty people in their lives. If you have something that you want to get rid of in this lifetime, in your life, not in this lifetime in general, and I don't mean in any way illegally or violently, but you just want to get rid of a bad habit, or you want to get rid of a bad roommate, or you want to evolve from something. In this case, you can take one of the negative tarot cards, make up a greeting card. You're not going to give it to anybody in particular. You're just going to make a law of repulsion, get out of my life card. So you're going to take like the Death or the Devil or the Ten of Swords, and you're going to say, wishing you a happy Christmas, you MF-er, and you're going to write it to the person, thing, event, circumstance in your life that you don't like. And you're going to psychically say, this is for you. I'm pushing you out of my life. And then you can just tear up the card and throw it away. What you're doing is you're taking all that stress out of your head. This is a psychological exercise, not some kind of voodoo ritual. If you're into voodoo, you already know how to do this stuff. Otherwise, it's just a way of taking all this mess out of your head so that it doesn't infect you anymore. It doesn't plague you, because I want you all buoyant and focused on happy things that you want to attract yourself to. But if you've got something in your head that's blocking you, yes, let's address it. Let's give it a Christmas card. Let's send it on its way and, you know, poof, be gone. So only if you have something you really, really got to get rid of, there's your excuse. Everybody else, 1 to 3 cards, be nice. And most important, take pictures of these cards. I want digital snapshots. You email them to me@dustywhite.net. Whether or not I can post them, let me know. I'm not worried about posting them. I want to see that you've done your homework. Anybody who does this homework gets a gold star. That's good for, I can't say what it's good for yet, but it's definitely worth a lot. So do the homework, send a picture of the card. Just show me that you've done your homework so I have physical proof. And then you'll get something. Santa will bring you a very nice present.
That sounds great. I love it.
So we're going to wrap up this podcast before it breaks again. Thank you very much. I hope to have you back on the podcast again. In the meantime, I'd like you to go forth and do your homework.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good night.